Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Purdy Insurance. Visit Purdy Insurance on Market Street in Sunbury or visit online at purdyinsurance.com. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Great to have you with us today. Well, the three of us nailed it on Friday, huh? Sure we did. This is an easy show to do today because yesterday makes today's show a layup. Today's show brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury. Go to purdyinsurance.com. Purdy's has served this valley for decades. And there's a good reason why. The customer comes first. They find you the right insurance, best price. There's a claim, you'll have no greater advocate than Purdy Insurance. Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, go to purdyinsurance.com. In the fantastic Sunbury Motors studio, Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in beautiful downtown Hummel's Wharf. Sean even nailed the overtime scenario. The exact score, you name it, Sean got it done.
I'll tell you, one thing I did know off the top, as soon as they won that coin flip,
everybody
knew there
that.
Was no way the Falcons were going to get a shot.
My first thought was, as soon as they won the coin toss, game over.
It's just blown away. It blows me away that the numbers. I mean, if you have 41 minutes of time of possession, you never thought that game would go into overtime. And then the Falcons,
well,
with only 44 yards of total offense for a huge chunk of the second half.
Well, they didn't have the ball. What the Patriots did was the Patriots controlled the clock and they ran the Falcons out of gas. The Falcons hurt themselves in several areas. Let's get to where they hurt themselves in several areas. Number one, 1 of 8 on third down. 0 of 5 in the second half. That hurt them. The next part is, to me, the key sequence to the game is Julio Jones makes an unbelievable catch on the sideline. To the 22-yard line. Now what do you do? You've got exactly what you want. You're at the 22. You've actually run the ball decently all day. You run the football. In the last 23 minutes and 40 seconds, you know how many times the Falcons ran the football?
I heard the number is about a handful, 4 or 5.
Four. 4 times on a day where they're having success running the football. They ran it 4 times. Okay? You've got a really good field goal kicker. One of the best, really, the game has seen in Matt Bryant. Run the ball, which does one of two things. It either starts running the clock. Actually, it does 3 things. It's either running the clock, forcing the Patriots to take timeouts. At the same time, what does it do? It keeps your defense off the field. You play offense to your defense. You play defense to your offense. What Kyle Shanahan did is inexplicable. Inexplicable. Okay? I'm trying to get a 2-score lead. Julio Jones just handed the opportunity to me on a silver platter. Now I run the ball. Who knows? I may run the ball 3 times And guess what? Get another first down because they've been running the ball. I know they don't have Coleman at this point, but Freeman's having a good day. I don't know what they're doing. The worst you're going to have there is a 39-yard attempt. It's usually a pretty good scenario for Matt Bryant. Instead, you do what they did and the Patriots had, I believe, had all their two timeouts remaining when they got the ball. I mean, they did everything play calling wise. I'll give you another example. After the Patriots tie the game, this is small, but it's still important. There was a 5-yard offside penalty on the 2-point conversion, which was assessed on the kickoff, which meant the Patriots, I don't think anybody really noticed this, but they kicked off at the 40-yard line. Okay? I'm telling Weems, in no uncertain terms, that if the ball is in the end zone, put the knee down and we take the ball at the 25. That way I've saved all my time and we can start from the 25. Instead, knucklehead runs it out. What? What did he get it to? The 16, 14? So, which took, 3-4 seconds off the clock and gave you no chance. Oh, and the Falcons are out of timeouts. They completely wasted a timeout on a challenge that was so irrelevant. I mean, you name it. They did it. And, you look at what James Franklin, Brent Pry, and Sean Spencer do, where it's a big difference between the numbers of college and the numbers in the pros. In college, you can afford to play 9 to 11 defensive linemen in a game, which was what Penn State does. Penn State's always rotating defensive linemen. In the NFL, you have a 45-man roster, so you can't do that. Yet they, in the fourth quarter, they kept doing the same thing they did all day. Rush four. Guess what happens when you're always rushing four? You run them out of gas. And in the fourth quarter, Tom Brady had clean pockets. You can still play. Look, you're playing man-to-man anyway. You can blitz. In fact, what was the biggest, one of the biggest plays of the game was the Hightower forcing a fumble on Matt Ryan. What was that play called? Oh, that was called a blitz. The Patriots got desperate in the game. Everybody talks about the onside kick that, that the Falcons recovered and then did nothing with, by the way. But what about that third down play where they threw the threw it backwards to Edelman, and they tried to get it to Lewis downfield? I'm sitting there thinking, man, they're desperate. It wasn't like the Patriots didn't show some signs of panic. The Patriots did show signs of panic. They tried the onside kick at one point. They tried that trick play with Edelman on a third down play. Not in second down, not in first down, but in third down. You're like, what the heck are they doing? But you've got to play to the moment. And Kyle Shanahan did not play to the moment. I've got to keep my defense off the field. So I run the football. Because guess what? I'm going to have a 2-score lead and a cushion to play with for my defense. I've been handed the scenario I need. And instead, with a sack and a holding penalty, they ended up with fourth down and 33. Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, there have been so many plays that have been highlighted and spotlighted today, and one that stands out for me, and it was before the Edelman, catch. It was that 3rd and 10 where Brady was scooting to the right, and he was able to find Chris Hogan.
Yeah, I mean, look, the Patriots made plays, but again, they made plays because the Falcons ran out of gas. They couldn't keep chasing him. I mean, I'm not talking about Brady being a scrambling quarterback, but when you're rushing the quarterback, remember, Freeney came into the game banged up anyway. And early on, I mean, Brady did not have a good first half. By anyone's standards, did not have a good first half. I mean, he was under duress. That certainly played a role in it, no question. But it's more than that. Because Brady was just plain off in the first half. He had Edelman wide open on a play, overshot him dramatically. He had Hogan wide open on a play, overshot him dramatically. And the interception that Alford runs back for a touchdown is a bad play by Tom Brady. You could talk about reads and things like that. I don't know what he's thrown into. He's thrown into a double, and I guarantee you didn't even see him.
Yeah, a lot of those passes that weren't accurate early, he wasn't even getting any pressure on him.
I mean, he didn't play well in the first half. Patriots as a team didn't play well. They're down 28-3 in this game. And
credit to you, though, late in the game, and when you were breaking the game down Friday afternoon, we were doing our picks, you said one key with Atlanta on defense, hardly getting any pressure up the middle. Yeah, they do on the edges, but not up the middle. But you could really tell toward the end of the fourth quarter, they were getting nothing up the middle, and Brady was having all day to throw.
Well, I mean, he had a clean pocket in the fourth quarter. Clean pocket, fourth quarter. And believe me, wasn't it the Patriots didn't have a little bit of panic in them? The onside kick and the pass play by Edelman. Now they converted on fourth down. But that was a little like, okay, we're not comfortable with where we are. But the sack by Hightower, the fumble, opened the door because I was starting to wonder, when that happened, if the Patriots had enough possessions left in the game to tie it. You've got to think about, it's not just, how many points are you down? How many possessions do you have left? The clock's running. How many possessions do you actually have left in the game? And they were in that spot at that point. All right, we'll take a break. Back with more in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK, brought to you by Purdy Insurance.
When you buy insurance, it's serious business. Because if something happens and you don't have the right coverage, you're out of luck and maybe out of business. So if you need insurance, business, home, auto, or flood, ask your agent about Selective. No gimmicks, just great coverage and great response.
Get to know your local Selective agent, Purdy Insurance, on Market Street in Sunbury or at purdyinsurance.com. Find out what Purdy Insurance can do for you.
Great to have you with us on the show today. 800-795-9565. And we'll have this day in sports history. Joey Galino from Yahoo Sports will join us today. Matt Leon from Philadelphia. Terrell Owens, of course, is going to get the bulk of the publicity about not making the Hall of Fame. I'd like to point out he was not even close. Well, that's impossible. How could Terrell Owens not be close? They take 15, and they've cut from 15 to 10, then 10 to the final five. Terrell Owens did not make the cut to 10. So this isn't one of those, Terrell Owens, he just missed. No, he didn't just miss. He didn't even make the final cut to 10. In fact, there is now some sentiment leaking out that it may be a while before he gets in, if he gets in. He's in a very interesting spot. He's got a lot of numbers, a lot of garbage numbers. You know, the 20-catch game was the last game of the season against the Bears. Like, nobody cared. I mean, it's like, you know, he had a great play he made against the Packers in a playoff game, which to me is the signature play of his career. But, what, I mean, you look at, like, somebody brought up to me, well, Lynn Swanson. Yeah, do you realize all the big plays Lynn Swan made in big games? I mean, if I had a big play I needed to make in a game and you gave me a choice between Lynn Swan and Terrell Owens, which guy am I going to pick? Lynn Swan. Why? Because in big games, he made big plays. Terrell Owens still really waiting for him to make the big play. Andre Reed. What's the difference between Andre Reed and Terrell Owens? Not the physical gifts of Terrell Owens, but the consistency. Terrell Owens, massively inconsistent. League leader in drops, how many times? You recall Andre Reed dropping any? Recall Art Monk dropping any? He's got the numbers. There's no getting around to what his numbers are. I think he's, what, second or third all-time in receiving yards, touchdowns, things like that. I mean, that's all impressive, and I completely appreciate that. But, I mean, it's not only off the field, the fact that, look, that Terrell Owens, the most important part of the game was Terrell Owens, the most important part of the game was not who, you know, was about winning championships or anything like that, or the most important thing was that Terrell Owens was playing in the game today, not the team he was playing for. That's a bothersome part when it comes to him. And he can't understand why he can't get in. Well, I don't know. You want to look back at your career? I mean, let's look at the... Give me five memorable moments that stand out above all that make him a signature player in the history of the game. I don't know. I can pick out three. And one of them is garbage time. 20 catches against the Bears on the last day of the season. Like, really? The catch against the Packers is unquestionably a moment of greatness. And playing in the Super Bowl. But again, as I pointed out, the Eagles got to the Super Bowl without him. He didn't play in any of the playoff games, and they somehow still managed to overcome him not being there. And Sean loves the fact that I would pick Lynn Swan over Terrell Owens.
No debate from me. Although I think T.O. will get in eventually, but like you said, will it happen 5 years or less?
He didn't make the cut to 10. Have you seen the names on the list the next few years?
They're coming.
Okay, he's got a problem. By the way, Terrell Davis averaged 27 carries a playoff game, 149.9 yards.
Stevens Grove, Sunbury, and Lewisburg turn first for news.
Imagine yourself behind the wheel of the 2017 Lincoln MKZ with its refined 400 horsepower twin turbo V6, its effortless power, and the conversation quiet interior for a sense of serenity, a retractable panoramic roof for more sky than any other luxury sedan. It's like that. The exhilarating new 2017 Lincoln MKZ. Get your new Lincoln MKZ today with exceptional limited time offers, including a $1,500 retail premium bonus cash certificate and 0% for 36 months at your home for affordable American luxury. Sunbury Motors Lincoln in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza in Sunbury. We're online at sunburylincoln.com. Financing with Lincoln AFS with approved credit.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Did Mark just call his guests morons? Is that what he said? Oh, it was oxymoron. Okay, I just want to make sure we got that right.
Oh, I'm glad we got that cleared up.
I'm telling you right now, the thesaurus we gave him, invaluable, but now it's starting to wear on me a little bit.
I've been called worse down the hall.
You mean outside of what I say?
Okay. Yeah. Yes.
God. I've been waiting, by the way, for... I've been kind of sitting here waiting for white smoke. People are like, well, what? I said, that's the only indication the suit's made another sale.
Right. We have a sale.
Everybody, we're saved. We're saved.
Speaking of the suits, the suit and the chief tonight, 709 Shikellamy Hoops on WKOK. I believe they got Mifflinburg tonight. Yeah. And then they got the road trip to Central Mountain on Wednesday night.
Does the suit feel like he's paid by the word? I mean, I'd like to hear Dave a little bit more in the broadcast, wouldn't you? I mean, this excuse that Dave's not feeling well or whatever is just, you know, I think it's to cover up that the suit won't let him talk.
The chief has been the ultimate team player for years and years, but he wouldn't say that for a cover-up in lieu of Kevin's amount of words. He truly was down for the count.
I think it's a cover-up. I do. I believe when it really comes down to it that captain paid by the word, I think X'd him out.
They're now calling the video previews Chat with the Chief leading up to the games. Getting popular.
Yeah, but does the chief talk? Because normally the setup takes up like, okay, it's a 60-second spot. The setup takes 48 seconds. The chief looks over and goes, you're right, thanks. I mean, we need, you know, I mean, I more chief, less suit. This day in sports history, 1921, the Yankees issued a press release to announce the purchase of 10 acres of property in the West Bronx. The land was used to build Yankee Stadium. 1926, the NFL adopted a rule that made players ineligible for competition until their college class graduated. And of course, that's been changed. 1932, dog sled racing happened for the first time in the Olympics. Each dog got a medal. 1958, Ted Williams signed a contract with the Red Sox, $135,000, highest paid player in Major League history to that point. 1970, the NBA expanded to 18 teams. They added the Buffalo Braves, who are now the LA Clippers, the Cleveland Cavaliers, the San Diego Rockets, who are now the Houston Rockets, and the Portland Trail Blazers. And in 2005, the Patriots beat the Eagles 24-21 in Super Bowl 39. It was the third win in 4 years for the Patriots. Terrell Owens played the game on a broken leg, had 9 catches in the game. Yet the Eagles miraculously still got there without him. Let's bring in Matt Leon now, KYW Philadelphia. Matt, have you applied for the offensive coordinator's job for the Falcons?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. That was something else last night. I mean, I thought the Patriots would win. I did not think it would be like that at all. And it is just, momentum is just a crazy thing in sports.
Yes, it is.
I've never seen a New England team, I think, look worse than that New England team looked last night for 2.5 quarters.
They looked old.
Yeah. They just looked like they had no answers. They just a half a step slow defensively. They couldn't stop anything that the Falcons were throwing at them. And for to just flip on a dime like that, it's truly remarkable.
It really was remarkable watching it play out. But again, they looked, I thought, looked old at one point. But you know what? With speed, sometimes speed runs out of gas. Atlanta looked like defensively, because of all the plays, they ran out of gas.
Oh, yeah, that was the thing that was really something. What were the plays, like 89-45 as far as plays run? Something just absurd. And it's honestly, to kind of bring it to Philadelphia, what you saw in that fourth quarter is what we got used to seeing here defensively under Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
You saw a defense that just hit its limit. You know, you get up 70, 75, 80 plays. They're just, you know, the scheme hasn't changed. The plan hasn't changed. Guys just are completely out of gas, and they had no answer for what New England was doing. Because, I mean, you know, New England stuff down the stretch was nothing fancy. They were just executing, right, and the Falcons were a step and a half slow everywhere.
Because he finally had a clean pocket to operate. And
yeah,
after not, and Brady did not play well in the first half. Under pressure, acted a little gun-shy at times, threw the ball. When he finally had some time, overthrew guys. The Alford pass was a bad decision by anybody's standard. But then things settled in the fourth quarter, and you could tell he got very comfortable back there. Very comfortable.
Oh, yeah, no question. And it's funny, because I was on Twitter during the second half, and even when the Patriots were scoring that first touchdown where they eventually missed the extra point to make it 28-9, even then people were complaining on Twitter, why are they taking so long? It was like reminiscent of the Eagles in the Super Bowl against the Patriots back in January of 05, where, you know, yeah, they're going to score, but they need time. They need to get the ball. But I think the seats for the comeback were set there, not just because they scored a touchdown, but because they ground into the Falcons defense for 18 plays. Now, I'm not sitting here saying that their idea was,
right,
let's take our time here and have it pay dividends down the road. But as it turns out, that was kind of the jumping off point, because then all of a sudden they get the ball back and things start to roll downhill, and it all kind of started there because they were able to wear down that Falcons defense on that drive there late in the third quarter.
Yeah. Exactly. Brian Dawkins made the cut to the final 10. Terrell Owens did not. Now, obviously, Owens has those significant years in Philadelphia. Brian Dawkins, the vast majority of his career was in Philadelphia. What are your thoughts on that?
I'm kind of surprised that they're both not in. For whatever reason, and I've kind of heard this talked around, safeties, it's tough for safeties in the Hall of Fame. There's not many of them. I know Kenny Easley got in this time, but I mean, you know, Kenny Easley's been eligible for quite some time.
Right.
But for whatever reason, safeties don't get, and I don't know if it's the way people look at it as kind of a catch-all back there, but I mean, you'd find a lot of people that say Brian Dawkins kind of changed the way safety is played in the NFL. Because once Jim Johnson kind of saw what he had in him, you know, his, just some of the numbers, I think only player with 25 sacks, 25 interceptions, and 25 fumble recoveries in a career. Just a phenomenal, you know. And I think, you know, these things, as far as Terrell Owens goes, he does have some baggage. So when you're talking about, you know, yeah, you know, a little.
Some?
You know, when you're talking about people, even if they're trying to be impartial, I think partiality, so I could see that there are some people that probably want to make him wait a few years before he gets in. But I was genuinely surprised. Once Dawkins made the cut, I thought that he would get in. So I was really surprised by that.
Was it Dawkins first time eligible?
Yes.
Yeah, I think what you'll see is a couple, 3 years from now, he might make it.
I think it's definitely a win, not if.
Yeah, I think for him, getting into the 10 was really significant. The fact that Owen still can't crack 10 in his second year is significant.
Yeah, because, I mean, you know, you look at Owen's numbers. I mean, first in the four with the 49ers, then here, and then even in Dallas. And even when he wasn't very effective at the end with Buffalo and I think Cincinnati, you know, he still put up credible numbers his last few seasons. By no means what he was. But, you know, he should probably get more respect than he deserves.
Yeah, interesting. All right, I want to get now to the Eagles quickly. Now the season is over with. All right, we did discuss this briefly last week, but just to reiterate, what do you think? Let's start with free agency, which then sets up the draft. I mean, is it linemen? Is it the secondary? Where do they need to go in free agency?
I think it's got to be cornerback and wide receiver first and foremost. I don't know names. I have started to hear the name Torrey Smith thrown around as a possibility in a trade with the 49ers, because he's basically been useless out in San Francisco. He's been an odd man out. And he would definitely, even as much as he's been non-existent the last couple of years, he would be an upgrade here. Depends on what you give up. But I think at cornerback and wide receiver, I think you address them both in the draft and in free agency. Maybe not your first-round draft pick necessarily, but you got to go hard, because really it would not be crazy to see, with the exception of maybe Jordan Matthews, the entire wide receiver core overturned. And it was, I think both your starting cornerbacks, Nolan Carroll and Leotis McKelvin, are out. Jalen Mills, who was a nice job as a rookie seventh rounder, maybe sticks around as a third or fourth cornerback. But you need quality and you need quantity. So I would see them attack both of those. I think another chance for free agency might be a defensive end. They could use another pass rusher, of course, who couldn't. But I think one and two on your depth chart as far as things to address are cornerback and wide receiver. And also, we got to wait and see. I think there's going to be a little bit of a purge on the roster to create some salary cap space. So I think you could see some people pushed out that are maybe making too much money or have contracts a little unfavorable. And that might actually create another need in the short term.
Yeah, that's interesting. All right, now this is a difficult one to ask, because it's a pure guess, but how big is the gap between the Eagles, Redskins, Eagles, Giants, and then Eagles, Cowboys?
Eagle Cowboys, it's significant. I don't think there's any doubt there. The other two, I mean, the Giants started playing better and better, but the Eagles having the quarterback accelerates things so much. And yes, the Giants had the quarterback in Eli, but he's starting on the turn for home, and that's going to be a big challenge for them. I'm still not a believer in Washington, and now it sounds like, you know, who knows what the future is with Kirk Cousins with his deal. And, you know, if they're starting from scratch again, if he moves on or they decide not to bring him back at quarterback, that's the team they can probably catch the quickest. And, you know, but we've talked about this. As much as you look at it and it's kind of bleak and you're like, they've got so much to do and so many holes to fill, in the NFL, it really is more than any other sport, a year-to-year league. And all it takes is a bounce here, a great performance one week, and, you know, a good matchup the next. And all of a sudden, 7-9 turns into 10-6, and everybody's making Super Bowl plans. So there is definitely work to do, but I don't think they are a disaster. They definitely have holes to fill. But, and like I said, when you've got the quarterback, and it's a young quarterback and ascending talent, that can clean up a lot of other messes quickly.
I hope everybody had a chance at some point. You can look it up online. But Mike Silski from the Philadelphia Inquirer, the beautiful column he wrote about Bill Lyon over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. And if you Bill's been writing these amazing stories about his battle with Alzheimer's disease. And they're wonderful stories. They're heartbreaking. But it really is the whole, it's really something.
Yeah. I mean, I hope you get a chance to read it. It's, I mean, I think people know here that obviously in my family, my father had it. I mean, my father, we first started noticing when he was 59 and he passed away at 71. So I would hope that people read it, because what Mike wrote was beautiful, and that what Bill Lyon has written about the battle with it has been incredible. So,
yes, it has.
Matt, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thank you, sir.
Matt Leon, KYW in Philadelphia. More in a moment. Brought to you by Purdy Insurance, Market Street in Sunbury, on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Tony writes us on Facebook, big comebacks, no big deal. They saw it from Penn State all year. It's true. I kind of thought the same thing. Penn State was down, 28-7 to Wisconsin in the Big Ten Championship game. Now, the difference between that game, obviously different levels, but the difference between that game and this game, Penn State scoring before the end of the first half was huge, and then started off the second half and scored right away. Patriots ended the first half like, and then started the second half with a three and out. It's still down 28-3 with 8 minutes plus to go in the third quarter. And then Patriots found some rhythm, and the Falcons panicked. And that's what Super Bowl experience, or the lack thereof, does. You panic. And Kyle Shanahan, I don't care what he says, panicked. Okay? You got to be the coolest head in the room and look around and go, okay, we're at the 22-yard line. Okay? Now let's play some chess here. I run the football, right? I'm either going to eat up clock, maybe get another first down, but at minimum, I'm going to make him use his timeouts. And they didn't do that. Now, the Falcons were 0-5 on third down in the second half, 1-8 for the game. And so, they were not firing on all cylinders offensively. And keep in mind, of the 28 points they scored, one was on the, seven were on the pick six. But they had a decent rhythm running the football. Patriots got a little better handle on the second half, but again, the last 23 minutes, Falcons only ran the ball four times. I don't know. You look at the Falcons, oh, it's a young team, they'll be back. I'm not so sure. This loss may be that devastating, and not only that, can they count on the Cowboys getting knocked out again at home in the second round? Can they count on that again? Of course, you don't know from year to year in terms of health and things like that, how it plays out. The defensive coordinators may catch on to what Dak Prescott's doing, because defensive coordinators do not spend the offseason playing golf. They usually spend the offseason going through every tape to figure out what you're doing and how to stop it. But you got to wonder.
Well, you do bring up a great point. Look at Carolina, from going to, being in the big game against Denver and, then having a very disappointing season this past year.
Dynamics of teams change, too. I mean, for example, Carolina's no Josh Norman, for example. So they had the dynamic of that team changed. That's why I talk about the that no matter what, each team does have its own personality. Each team has its own personality. Even though you may have some carryover personnel, there's just enough changes that change the personality of the team, change the personality of the locker room. And that's why a culture, when you hear, I'm sick of hearing about culture, it's really important. And by the way, Tom Brady, who got the truck as being the Super Bowl MVP, is giving the truck to James White. He had 14 catches in the game. He scored 3 touchdowns in the game, including the game winner in overtime. He had a heck of a day. Could have easily been the MVP just based on vote.
Well, to Belichick's credit, he made a move pretty early in the game when Blunt was pretty much not getting much of anything.
Well, when Blunt fumbled, no, Blunt actually knocked himself out of the game with a fumble.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like that's the no tolerance policy right there. Major League Baseball is talking about possibility of changing the strike zone. And maybe changing the rule on intentional walks. Again, still awaiting white smoke. White smoke would indicate another suit sale. How long must we wait, Sean?
Hopefully something in less than an hour.
You're listening to News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury. You can hear us anywhere in the world with the Sunbury Broadcasting Corporation app.